Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. My name is Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A terrible crime in England, and it brings me to one of our BEL files of homosexual mass murders. Now, this is not a mass murder. This is a single, grisly, despicable murder, and it is one committed by Mr. Homosexual United Kingdom. Mr. Gay UK, they call him. He's actually one of the former Mr. Gay UKs, 35 years old, and he murdered his partner, and then it's a Jeffrey Dahmer kind of story. Is that enough? Could I just say that? It's a Jeffrey Dahmer kind of story. This guy was a homosexual chef. He murdered his partner. He cut out part of, He seasoned it with fried, never mind. It's just too disgusting. But the guy's name is Anthony Morley. And that's what he did. And police, police were pretty disgusted on the scene. And I don't think I have to give you more details, do I? I don't think so. They found his partner, 33-year-old Damien Oldfield, on the floor of the former Mr. Gay UK's bedroom, dead, naked, stabbed 20 times, his throat cut. And the murderer said, well, his partner had tried to rape him, so that's why he filleted and cooked and ate them, I guess. That's his reasoning, his justification. And when you think about the mass murderers in America and the extraordinary percentage of them who were homosexuals, it's really startling. Like, I don't have a complete list. These are just some random notes. But Jeffrey Dahmer, remember, raped, murdered, and ate 13 young men and boys. There was John Wayne Gacy. Remember him in Chicago, Chicagoland? How many boys did he kill? 33? Was it? Remember the California freeway killer? Do you remember that guy? That was back in the 90s. William G. Bonin. He murdered 14 boys, ages 12 to 19. He sexually molested them, tortured, mutilated, strangled, and dumped their bodies naked. One boy was stabbed 70 times. Another, he used an ice pick on him. Another, cigarette burns. And he had a conviction way back in 1969 of assaulting 5 boys. He was only sentenced to 5 years. Then in 1975, he was imprisoned for rape. And then he was paroled just a few years later. And then he began his homosexual rape and murder spree immediately upon being paroled. And police caught him. This is the California freeway killer. You remember that? I lived in California for a while. And some of these things, they just stick in your memory. But police caught this California freeway killer, William Bonin, while he was sexually assaulting a 15-year-old boy in his van. But he had a good message. The Associated Press got out his own message to young men in America. He said, William G. Bonin said, the death penalty sends the wrong message to America's youth. That was good, right? He is an expert on the right message. And let's see, who else? Patrick Kearney. Have you heard of him? Cutting boys up and putting them into trash bags. Dozens of kids, was it? Remember in Scotland, Thomas Hamilton? the guy who, the mass murderer in the kindergarten class, killed 16 kids. He had a fascination with little boys in various states of undress, and the neighborhood children in Dunblane called him Mr. Creepy. Well, they called him Mr. Creepy, and he got even. He killed 16 of them, and their teacher, and then himself. And police knew that he was a risk to children. That was known. That was in his file, so to speak. How about, remember the fashion guy of Versace? Remember he was murdered? He's a fashion designer. And the guy who murdered him, Andrew Cunanan, he's a male prostitute. And he was wanted in connection with four other murders nationwide. I never followed that case to see what happened as a result of that. There was a guy who was killing patients at a hospital in Indiana, Vermilion County Hospital, and his name was Orville Lynn Majors. And I was reporting on this list. This is not a comprehensive list. This is just a random list. When somebody's name comes up in a news story, a homosexual mass murderer, I just pop the name in a list. And so I was going over this list, and one of our listeners called in, a Barbara Brown from Madisonville, Kentucky, and she said, Bob, you've heard of the male nurse who was charged with 6 counts of murder? One patient died every 156 hours. One patient died every 156 hours when he was on duty. 60 deaths he's thought to have caused, murdered 60 people. And she called in and she said, well, that guy, Orville Lynn Majors, he's a homosexual. And I said, Barbara, how would you know that? And she said, he's in my family. He's one of my family members. And she told me details that off the air that I jotted down, phone numbers, contacts, relationships. And so how about Charles Manson? Charles Manson. He was a prostitute's illegitimate son, spent most of his early life in institutions for offenses including theft and pimping and homosexual rape. Oh, you didn't know that about Charles Manson. See, the media, if there's a crime committed and it's committed by an atheist, they won't put that in the lead of the story. Atheist kidnaps, tortures, and buries child alive. They won't do that. If there's a crime committed by a homosexual, they generally are not going to tell you this guy who kidnapped and raped and killed these people, he was a homosexual. But if a Christian is caught, say, with a prostitute, that'll either be in the headline or the lead. Church elder caught in prostitution sting. And you know what? It's good. It's good when they tell people that a Christian is being a hypocrite. That's good because we want a high standard, because the standard is Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the standard. And if he would have sinned, then, you know, all bets were off. If the Lord Jesus Christ would have sinned, then he could not have saved us because his death would be for his own sin. But of course, he overcame all temptation and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He's God. He's our creator, God the Son. And so he did not sin and he's the standard. And so when Christians claim a standard and then they violate it, then that's being a hypocrite, and we should repent, acknowledge what I've done is wrong, I'm sorry, ask others to forgive you. And so it's not wrong when the media says, look, this Christian did it, but they sure don't tell you when a homosexual did it. I mean, unless it's necessary, unless it's a famous homosexual. But Charles Manson, he spent time incarcerated for homosexual rape. He was released in 1967 when he was 32 years old, and he used his criminal contacts to buy drugs and use them to seduce young middle-class women to create the family, the Manson family. So Charles Manson, another homosexual mass murderer. Donald Harvey from Kentucky, what did he kill, 37 people? Homosexual. And then there's this guy now. Well, he's not a mass murderer, so he's just a famous homosexual murderer. The Mr. Gay UK, 35-year-old chef who murdered his homosexual partner and then cooked him. And we'll leave it there. Bruce Davis from Illinois, he killed 27. Who else? Juan Corona. Have you heard of Juan Corona? Killed migrant workers, I think a couple dozen of them, and he would molest their corpses. He was a homosexual. Remember Richard Speck? Richard Speck murdered 8 nursing students and bragged about it on videotape. Now, this videotape, you'd think, well, he's not a homosexual. He murdered 8 nursing students. Well, the videotape on which he bragged about murdering those 8 nursing students was a porn video showing him having sex with a man and bragging about how many inmates he had sex with. By the way, he died of a heart attack in 1991. Wayne Williams in Atlanta, he killed black children. He was thought to be a racist at first. Turns out he was a homosexual who was interested in black boys. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It just goes on and on. You know, and a number of the mass murderers who are not homosexuals were obsessed with pornography, and pornography destroyed their lives. Remember, Dr. Dobson interviewed one of those guys. But many of the straight mass murderers were all twisted in their minds in perversion through pornography. But to stick with the homosexual theme, what was it, back in the 1980s, Frank Davis, on a camping trip, killed 2 youths with an axe and tried to kill 2 others, and he had his death sentence commuted. That was sad. That was, I think, known as the murders in Kingsford Heights. And this Frank Davis killed these teenagers after sexually molesting them. One was Darren Reed, age 14, and Jeffrey Lopez, age 15. And there were 2 others who were left for dead, but they survived. And he argued in his defense that he was sexually abused as an adolescent, and I have no doubt that was true. He says he was forced to perform homosexual acts at a mental hospital with older inmates. And this, according to his attorneys, this affected his sexual identity. And of course, that's true. I mean, that would do that to a young person, especially somebody in a hospital. And it's interesting when you talk about homosexuals, people think, well, they don't reproduce sexually. Well, actually, they do. Male homosexuals, especially, reproduce sexually by molesting children. A significant percentage of homosexuals talk about their induction into the lifestyle when they were young, a child, a young teenager, preteen, and they had their first sexual encounter with an older teen or a 20-something or 30-something or 40-something. Very common induction into homosexuality. So homosexuals do reproduce sexually by molesting children and adolescents. I remember what was it? The first week I was on the air. I think this was back in 1991 in April on this radio station, AM 670 KLTT, which is now a 50,000 watt station. I mean, that's exciting. This is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. It's one of the top 10 most powerful signals of any radio station, including all the Clear Channel stations, all the Salem radio stations. This here station, you talk about a blowtorch. It's extraordinary how far the signal goes during the day, because we're so low on the AM dial, 670, and at 55,000 watts. I was in a car wash the other day, and I happened to have KOA radio on. And it was getting too staticky to listen to, so I said, I'll put on KLTT. It'll come in better. Switched it, and it did. Came in better. KOA is the Rush Limbaugh Clear Channel affiliate in Denver, and so, you know, people assume it's the most powerful station, and it's not. This station right here, AM 670 KLTT. And so way back when I first went on the air, April 1991, I think it was the first week, there was a story about an effort to convince the Boy Scouts to accept homosexual scoutmasters. And of course, I went on the air and warned people how destructive that would be, how horrendous that would be. And I went back. I was working another job when I started in radio. I had given my boss a two-week notice. And I went back, and one of my coworkers said, Bob, I listened to that show. Because on that program, I explained that every molester in the Boy Scouts, every scoutmaster who had molested children, scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, everyone committed an act of homosexual child molestation. Everyone, every single one. Everyone. And the homosexuals, they deny that. They actually deny that. When a male scoutmaster has molested a Boy Scout, they deny that it's an act of homosexual child molestation. They deny it. So how can you possibly show that there is cause for concern when there's a denial of the very existence of such a perversion? That's just a complete denial. I mean, there are heterosexual child molesters. There are quite a few of those. There are heterosexual child molesters. That's why we don't let men coaching a girl's sports team go in the locker room with the girls. We don't allow it. You don't get to go into the girls' locker room. You don't go into the girls' shower because there are heterosexual child molesters. So you just don't do it. And that's one problem with society accepting homosexuality, because then you have men who are in positions of authority over boys, and those barriers are not there to protect those boys from the leering eyes of those men. It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. But homosexuality, the tolerance of homosexuality, brings you into this insanity. So I did this show and I warned people, and I'm so thrilled. Whereas the Girl Scouts, you should not allow your daughter to be a member of the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts are radically pro-lesbian. From the top of the organization, right through it nationally, pro-lesbian. The Boy Scouts have utterly refused. And when a city like San Francisco says, you know what, either you accept homosexual scout leaders or we're not going to let you use city facilities, the parks, nothing, you're out. The Boy Scout leaders, you know what they said? They said, well, then we're out, because we're not going to subject our children, these boys, to that kind of risk, to that kind of perversion. And so the Scout Oath, it ends by saying that I'm going to stay morally straight. That's pretty neat, morally straight. So I warned people in that, I think it was the first week, I'm sure it was the first week on the air that was a news story. And I went back to work, and one of my coworkers said, Bob, I can't believe what you said on the show. I was a Boy Scout. This guy was at that time in his 30s. And he said, we had a homosexual scoutmaster, and he tried to molest me and another boy on a camping trip. And it really, really was a horrendous experience for us. And what we did, he said, what his friend and I did was he told this guy, unless he quit, they would tell on him. And the guy quit. Now, that's pretty fabulous for young boys to go that far. I mean, they should have told on him anyway, and he should still be tracked down if possible. But this guy had lost track of who this guy was. And so they should still be tracked down if possible, molesters, even if it's years ago. And so the Boy Scouts, in fact, when the Boy Scouts were being attacked by the homosexuals, and I mean, it was a ruthless attack, and it wasn't only in San Francisco. That was during George W. Bush's presidential campaign. And if he would have said one word, stood up for the integrity of the Boy Scouts, he would have been lifted up as a hero by Christians and conservatives. Everyone that had any respect for the Judeo-Christian worldview, people who cared about kids, he would have been adored for having that kind of courage. But you know what he did? He kept his mouth shut. He's willing to sacrifice the Boy Scouts for tolerance to an utter perversion, homosexuality. He would be willing to sacrifice the Boy Scouts, and he also undoubtedly has made a political calculation and thought, you know what? You can't speak against homosexuals, and I don't even believe it's wrong anyway, so I'm not going to say a word. And they'll talk about homosexual dental care. That's about it. They'll oppose homosexual dental, I mean marriage. That's about it, but nothing else. It used to be that way, way back in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, way back, like in the 1980s, conservative leaders would talk about homosexuality being wrong and we have to resist homosexuality. Then that stopped. That stopped. You know when that stopped? When they decided they would talk about homosexuals adopting kids. Then there was no longer any public criticism of homosexuality itself, only adopting kids. But then that stopped. That stopped. You know when? When they began to speak against homosexual marriage. And now there's not even any criticism of homosexuals adopting kids. When is the last time you heard Focus on the Family speak against that? Or Jay Sekulow? Or on and on and on. And so now it's only homosexual marriage. Well, we're against homosexual marriage. Well, why? Well, because the dictionary says, what's the difference what the dictionary says? What's the difference? So this John Hubert, former Boy Scout leader, said he enjoyed the power and domination of killing. He was executed in the electric chair back when I was on TV, actually. I was on TV the night he was executed, right at midnight. And I don't know if you remember, if you were watching the show, but the lights in the studio dimmed. We could hear it. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And the lights were dimming. I always suspected that it was the director of the show. We had a crew of five people. I always suspected the director of the show arranged for the dimming lights and the buzzing sound in the audio, since the closest electrical power generator was about 20 miles away. But he was executed in 1967 for murdering two boys in 1983. He repeatedly stabbed and slashed a 13-year-old boy, Danny, and a 12-year-old boy, Christopher. And he was convicted of stabbing and strangling a boy in Maine. How about in Russia? Russia had a John Wayne Gacy type who murdered 30, was it, homosexual? And others. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and it's just so despicable. And homosexuality is so destructive But then you have Christians who have sided with Hollywood and Hillary and the humanists and the homosexuals, and they say, you know what? Homosexuality should be legal. Now, for 3,500 years, homosexuality was a crime. In the Judeo-Christian world, in our legal heritage, homosexuality is not just a sin, it's also a crime. Like rape, it's not just a sin, it's also a crime. But beginning with Focus on the Family and Colorado's Amendment 2, Christian leaders around the country, led by Dr. James Dobson, began to say that homosexuality should be legal. Homosexuals should have equal rights, and it was a right to privacy, and homosexuality should not be criminal. And Chuck Colson wrote that in his newsletter, Breakpoint. And Beverly LaHaye of Concerned Women for America took that stand in her newsletter, Today's Christian Woman. And Gary Bauer, head of the Family Research Council, took that stand, as did Dr. Dobson himself and the vice president of public policy at Focus on the Family, Tom Minery. And it just went on and on and on with Focus on the Family backing this campaign slogan, equal rights, not special rights, for homosexuals. So there went 3,500 years of a Judeo-Christian biblical foundation for the law that sex is only legal within marriage. And Chuck Colson, of all people, wrote, if homosexuals want to have relationships, plural, with people of the same sex in the privacy of their homes, that is their right. That's their right. So Dr. James Dobson, he was a leader of that effort. I don't believe he knew what he was doing. I don't think he realized that homosexuality was criminal for 3,500 years. I don't think he knows that the New Testament and the Old Testament say that homosexuality should be criminal. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't think he knew any of that. And now, since America has tolerated homosexuality, 1 million people have suffered a tortured death. 1 million people. And Christians like me here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're considered hateful and vengeful and spiteful. Back when America had our biblical beliefs as public policy and homosexuality was a crime, back then you didn't have hundreds of thousands of people dying directly from homosexuality. You didn't have tens of thousands. You didn't have thousands. You didn't have hundreds. So, hey, there's a Christian worldview, guys. You find it in God's Word, the Bible, and here at Bob and Yurt Live, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school in Arvada. May God bless you.